Hi, this is Jeremiah Al Yang, and I have Robin Tiffins with me today, and we're talking about syndication awareness. This is part 2 of 3, a unique and growing medium. So last time we talked about syndication awareness, we were talking about what is syndication and how does it benefit users and companies. Today we'd like to talk to more, give you information about the details and about the syndication usage in the industry and why this is an important medium. So, Robin, have you seen the Yahoo report that talks about usage and awareness?
I did glance at it, yeah.
It's really interesting seeing that the Yahoo says that 27% of internet users are actually using syndication. It's interesting that only 4% of them only know that they're actually using a technology called Really Simple Syndication, or RSS.
I would agree with that, and I can believe that because it's so easy, you don't even really realize that you're using it. And in fact, whenever I actually say, oh, that's RSS or that's RSS technology, it kind of freaks people out a little bit. So I really agree that it's really simple. People don't even realize they're using it.
What are some of the common tools that people are using RSS that they're not even aware that they're using it?
Well, for instance, a lot of people don't realize that if you're reading a feed, that you're reading RSS. In other words, if they're pulling it into a blog reader, I mean into an RSS reader, or if they're, you know, Outlook through NewsGator and a couple of the other options will just allow you to bring it into Outlook. And so they just think of it as an email, you know, really. And it looks a lot like an email. Then a lot of people will go and visit sites where they'll see an RSS feed displayed in the sidebar of that site. And they're
right.
They're using RSS, but they don't realize it. The same thing with tag clouds and things like that. They just don't realize that that's done RSS. And I know that I looked at something earlier this week, Simple Ticket, which is an open source trouble ticketing system, and they have RSS feeds that are sent to the technicians. And I feel sure a lot of the users that are, you know, sending in that data doesn't realize that it's being relayed, you know, via RSS.
That's right. So, one of the more popular, and this is actually not really a new technology, RSS has been around for quite a while, since
right.
the 90s. My Yahoo is a kind of a personalized portal that allows the user to customize their information. And this has been used by many people, and it's really based around the architecture of RSS feeds
yeah.
being pulled into it. So that's very, very common and found around. So we're noticing this trend that RSS is actually increasing. We're seeing that feeds, we talked about this in our last podcast, that the RSS icon, that small orange icon, is appearing in a lot of different locations, including the next version of Outlook and the next version of many different browsers. So this lends us to think, is what is RSS? Is this a new medium? Is this a new channel? In my studies, I found out that RSS is both a medium and a vehicle. For the following reasons, that it's a medium because information can actually ride on the actual feed itself. You can include text in the feed that can be read by a feed reader. And
right.
it's also a vehicle because it can link to other types of documents or information. So it's actually pulling information or pointing to information that the user can also look at, such as podcasts or video.
Yeah.
Robin? Can you add on to that?
No, I mean, I would agree. A lot of the... Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Sorry, lost you there for a minute. A lot of the interesting things about RSS is that it's automatic, and you don't notice whether you're downloading it or whatever. So if you're talking about it being a medium and a vehicle, I think that that's almost... It sounds silly because you're talking about two different things, but it's almost the same in that just in how you're reading it is the difference. You know what I'm saying? But anyway.
I think that I can see how you could interpret that as the same.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed that was interesting is I use iTunes for my iPod, and it's, you know, since I've syndicated to a particular feed that will automatically pull the information, that my iPod is automatically synced up with the latest podcast that I've subscribed to. So it's an interesting way to look at how information can be automatically pulled or pushed to the user.
That's exactly it. A lot of times when we're talking about RSS, we'll say, you know, it's a push technology, but it's just as much a pull technology as it is a push technology, and that's what I mean when I say it's the same. It depends on the user and what use they're doing with it on. And so it's really interesting to me how variable RSS is and how useful. So
that's right.
Yeah. All right.
So we're talking about RSS. What's if we're going to inform our users to subscribe to feeds, to say maybe we're a publisher or a company that has information on a feed that we want to share, what are some ways that we can help them understand how to, what is it and how to subscribe to it?
Well, I think that one of the ways that I try on my on the sites that I partner with, I'll at least have a graphical introduction. It'll be, you know, a picture, like if it's a screenshot and with a description on each, you know, step-by-step instructions. Sometimes just explaining what RSS is goes a long way towards how to use it. But there are some of the sites where we're working with what I would consider not to be geeky technical people, and we'll actually do a flash video or something that actually shows me going through and clicking each little box and going through. But, you know, it's like riding a bike. Once you've done it once successfully, you really don't have to go over it again because it is so easy. But I think there's a lot of fear in touching RSS. You know, it's just scary. RSS technology, that sounds so scary. But that's what we try to do, though, is we try to show people this is exactly step-by-step what you're going to do, and then if you'll allow them to do it instead of you just showing them, they'll remember it forever.
Yes. The BBC, on their website, they had a very nice RSS syndication primer that we'll put a link from our sites to that.
It is
and
good.
Yeah, it really made it easy to understand. It was very friendly. And then it directed them to all their different news feeds.
Yeah.
So it's really, really well done. I've ran a syndication awareness session for some people that I work with, and we explained what is it, and we got into details, how do you subscribe, and getting people to understand feed readers and pulling in feeds. Mm-hmm. It is a little bit daunting when people see the actual XML that gets pulled up. They're like, wow, what is that? That's really crazy. And some people were a little bit confused.
Yeah.
So we showed them how to pull in the feeds using different feed readers and stuff.
Oh, that's good.
So using syndication, is this an expensive medium? Do we need to invest thousands of dollars in order for a publisher or company to do these things?
Well, it really depends on what you want. You can set up a WordPress type blog in 5 minutes if you have FTP access and you understand just basic geeky type stuff. You could pay someone, you know, $50 to $100 to set up a WordPress blog for you and be done with it and just have to pay for hosting. And I think $4 or $5 a month will probably cover that as well. However,
you're suggesting that a blog would be a good way to push out RSS?
Absolutely. I mean, I have a blog that's not supporting RSS 2.0 very well. And so what I've done to create the podcast on that blog is I've created another blog in a supporting platform just for that podcast, and we have a link to it on the feed. So, I mean, it's very fast, and it's a great way to push out a feed is to have a blog. However, if you're a business and you need to have, you know, 35 feeds, one blog's not going to do it for you, not unless
right.
you're going to have somebody create each feed for you, which is, I mean, if you have an IT department and they understand XML technology, it's not
right.
hard. But most businesses would do better choosing a platform like a blog site, a movable type, something that's, you know, business oriented. So
that's what I've heard, strategies to actually use, you know, cheap or free blog tools to push out these feeds.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, what's next, Jeremiah?
So if companies don't create RSS feeds, what we just talked about, what are the impacts to that? You and I have talked about scrapers, which will pull in from what means it'll pull information off a site and convert it to a different format. Is that going to actually change the way that companies or users will get information? Will content be automatically pulled off your website, whether you want it to be or not, and repurposed into RSS? So how do companies respond to that if that's actually going to be an issue?
Well, I do think that there are going to be people employing scrapers. Right now, it is just technology-minded people that are doing it. But as it becomes, you know, more readily available, I know of, I don't know, 10 or 15 different sites that for free allow you to use their service to scrape a site's content. I would think that it would make more sense to own and have control of your RSS feed.
Yep.
But I know that this is something we've come into contact with some podcasting friends of mine. Your feed can be hijacked. And it's not difficult to do at all. I can take any feed that I want to and, using RSS, pull it into a new feed, and I can have a blog with all of your content on it. And it's really not difficult at all to do. So that would be one of the reasons why you'd want to, as soon as you got your own RSS feed, you'd want to go and register it in every RSS directory that you could, so that, you know, they can't go and register it and people would know this is yours. And make sure you continue to put in your URL throughout your blog so that people know, hey, this is not her site.
I've seen my content repurposed other places too, as well, even in other languages, and they just pull it in.
Yeah.
And they're probably benefiting from my hard work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and SEO-wise, it's hurting you. I mean, it hurts you for your content to be repurposed as far as Google sees it. So.
That's right. Yeah. So I guess one of the closing things here in this podcast session here is that companies need to understand and give awareness and generate awareness in their company, what is RSS and who's using it, and understanding this is a medium and a vehicle, or both, depending how you look at it, and develop a real strategy, because whether or not you want to create syndication for your users, which we suggest you do, your content will likely be repurposed anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you want to add on to that?
I mean, yeah, you're going to be syndicated whether you like it or not. So it makes sense to embrace the technology, use it as a marketing tool, and benefit from it rather than just having, you know, someone else benefit from your hard work.
Thanks a lot. This is Jeremiah Aoyang and Robin Tippins, Syndication Awareness Podcast Session, Part 2 of 3, A Unique and Growing Medium. Thank you.